Blog Talk Radio.
Committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share of bad kicks in my face, but I've come through. Let me go on.
And welcome back to the Transform Traveler. I'm your host, Rick Tokini. Thanks for joining us on one of America's favorite travel shows. And we hope that you enjoyed our previous show today with David Appel from Tripatini and Rob Owens, who is a travel journalist with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Both of them were fun shows, but there's no other show quite like the one you're about to hear, folks. We have as a guest Bill Randolph, who authored a book called Flight of a Lifetime. This has been a well-advertised show. There's not too many individuals that we know who have the courage and flair to go 27,000 miles piloting their own plane around the world. Bill, welcome to the Transform Traveler.
Hello, Rick.
Nice to have you on our show. Would you be so kind to tell our listeners about yourself, where you're from originally, and your journey in becoming a pilot?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Louisiana called Hammond until I was age 15, whereupon I joined the Navy because I was afraid World War II would end before I could get there. I lied about my age, a little bit. And then after I got out of the Navy, I learned to fly, something I had always wanted to do. They wouldn't let me fly in the Navy. Probably could have ended the war quicker, but they didn't know that. I went to college on the GI Bill and majored in business and engineering. And after that, I went to work in the corporate world, first for IBM. And they're a big company with lots and lots of rules, and I thought I might do better in a small company, so I left. I helped start a new company in Silicon Valley. And finally, I left that just to do my own thing and have a lot more time to fly, which is my passion in life.
And along that way, did you learn to fly single engine, twin engine, or what's the range of your pilothood?
Well, I have flown twin engines. I'm not rated for that, so I've been mostly a single engine land, and what I like about that is aerobatics. That's a fun thing for me. And my airplane, which I built myself, is a pretty fast aerobatic airplane.
That's amazing. And if you built it yourself, that means that you maintain it yourself. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Does that mean that if you went down over the Amazon or somewhere in this great world of ours that you were able to figure out how to get it fixed?
That's exactly right, and I did have to get it fixed. In fact, lots of places in the world, it's hard to get anybody to work on a small airplane, and it's exceedingly hard to get parts. So I made some parts on the way, and I fixed my airplane after an accident.
That's amazing. So obviously you're resourceful as a do-it-yourselfer, and what would have been one of the most unusual parts that you had to make on yourself, and kind of unfold that story for us?
Well, I think inappropriate air traffic control instructions for me requiring me to land too fast in Thailand, I blew some tires on landing. And that resulted in a fire and the destruction of all of my landing gear, and I had to repair those.
Oh, my goodness. Was that just one of many episodes that you had as you made this global tour? Or was that the one that you think, Bill, scared you the most?
Well, I think I probably should have rolled up in a ball of fire on that occasion, but I didn't have really time to think about that. There were a couple of other life-threatening events. Probably the worst, the most challenging was an encounter with a thunderstorm over the Amazon basin.
Mm.
And I shouldn't have been flying that late. I was flying at night. You know, I departed Trinidad bound for Belém, Brazil. And all the bureaucrats everywhere expect you to give them a tip, okay? Just a couple hundred extra dollars just to curry their favor. And if you don't do that, then they will delay your departure. On that occasion, they delayed me until it was almost dark. And I had to fly a leg at night, which I did not want to do, especially in the tropics. In the daytime, you can see bad weather coming, and while their forecast said I would have, oh, you'd have a smooth flight all the way to Brazil, man, that turned out to be a fiction. And pretty soon, as I crossed the Guianas, it started to rain a little bit, the air started getting rough, and then very, very turbulent. And I began to see lightning, and I knew what I was getting into. You can't see that coming at night. You can in the daytime. But I blundered right into a fierce line of thunderstorms. And I really didn't expect to live through the night. I was pretty busy trying to keep my airplane shiny side up. Although it was at night, I totally lost control a couple of times, and how I righted the airplane in that total darkness, I'll never know, because the instruments tumble. You know, the mechanical gyros at which you rely on are not good in aerobatics, but I think the autopilot which had a non-tumbling electronic gyro probably saved my life. I really didn't expect to live that night, and I went on, and the rain was so hard you just couldn't believe an engine could run under those conditions. And I landed in Belém on an instrument approach, and I never saw the ground. It was raining so hard. So that was my one and only 0-0 landing. I knew I was on the ground when I could feel the bounce.
That is an amazing story. And it brings up the point about your level of gumption and courage, because tell our listening audience what age you were when you decided to take this globe-trotting 27,000-mile journey.
Well, I was 74 when I decided, recovering from throat cancer, and I realized that the clock was running out on me, and I planned to do a whole lot of things, and I thought I'd better get moving. So when I was 75, I ordered a kit to build an airplane, and at 76, I set out on a journey.
That just goes to show you, folks, that you're never too old for any major adventure. However, what advice would you give, Bill, to those that have some kind of dream like that? What would you do different in retrospect?
Well, and for my trip, what I would do differently, I failed to buy a planned, I planned to buy a storm scope for my airplane, which will let me identify lightning on the instrument. Lightning is the sign of extremely turbulent and bad weather, thunderstorms. So I saved $5,000 to $7,000, and that's one change I'd make. Another change I'd make is to start doing that a lot sooner than age 76, so that I could get more trips in. I just simply waited too long.
Yeah, but you know what's the great thing is that not only did you make the trip and you went through all these adventures, but you wrote the book Flight of a Lifetime. Now, how long did it take you to write and finish that wonderful book?
Well, it didn't take me long to write it. When I returned, I was asked to speak at, Rotary Pilots and Pilot Organizations all over the state, and I guess I talked 200 or 300 times. And so writing the book, the trip had been rehashed in my mind so many times, it was pretty easy to write it. But I went through an organization which supplied me with an editor, and satisfying the editor and correcting all of my writing mistakes, typing that is, and then getting it into a format, it was something new for me. And I guess the whole process from start to finish took about 6 months, but not active work, just off and on.
Sure. But what is so great is that you've got this adventure underneath your belt. Now you're sharing it with other people, and you've got this can-do attitude of just go do it. And I would love your perspective on other pioneers of flight, like Amelia Earhart and Charles Lindbergh. What do you think that they felt like? Now that you've shared a similar feats that they accomplished?
Well, I'd say this, that flying around the world is the last big challenge for a pilot, and the weather's the same, the air's the same, all the conditions are the same. The thing that's easier is the navigation. Like modern day electronics make navigation relatively easy, unless you lose the electronics, and then you have to be prepared for that. But the tough part today is the bureaucracy that inevitably you run into, particularly in third world countries where there is no general aviation. That's the tough part today. So I would say, frankly, I would trade the bureaucratic part for the less certain navigation part that the old pioneers had. I think I'd do that.
Isn't that interesting? And that, the interesting parts in your book, you do mention about running into government bureaucracies and greasing the path to get from country to country. What do you think was the friendliest country you visited, and conversely, the most difficult country that you visited?
Oh, those are easy. The most difficult country was India, because of the bureaucracy and the pretty steep demand for money, both official and unofficial. That was, for me, that was almost a challenge to my heart. Yeah, really tough. The best, I guess the happiest time I had and the most memorable visit was in New Caledonia. They were all French, not all French. The natives, of course, are black people, but it's a French colony. And the Frenchmen there, in particular, Captain Hugh Jurion, who is an Air France pilot, captain, and Dr. Jacques Retinou, entertained me, invited me to a series of parties while I was there. I was going to stay overnight, but I stayed 2 days and managed five parties for me while I was there. So they were wonderful people, and I keep in touch to this day.
I love that, and that's the point that we try to make on this show, Bill, is that traveling creates lifelong friends, but you got to take the time to meet them and to hear their stories, and you can't always rush from point to point.
Oh, that's That's right. That was the best part of my trip, the people I met. You know, a hotel owner who befriended me in Brazil, Demerval Benitz. I still correspond with him. And Hugh Jurion came over to visit me recently, and I still correspond with Bruno Manca, an Italian Air Force pilot who befriended me and helped me in Sardinia. There are lots of people. And that, I didn't realize that when I started out, but you know, the people made the trip. There's lots of challenges involved, and so it was, in total, just a great adventure.
It sure sounds like it. And as we break for commercial, would you tell our listening audiences how they can buy the book Flight of a Lifetime and possibly even get a signed autograph book?
All right, after commercial, right?
Actually, you can tell us right now.
Okay, well, the book is available on Amazon.com. It's Flight of a Lifetime by William Randolph. And if you want, anyone wants to sign the book, then email me at bill8dz@gmail.com. That's Bill8DZ. That's a tail number on my airplane, or the 8DZ is. And you can email me with your address, and you can send me a book. I'll sign it and get it back to you.
That's great. And folks, if you do that, make sure and do that early for this coming Christmas season. And remember, you need to buy the book on Amazon.com. Send it to Bill's address, and you can get in touch with him at Bill8DeltaZebra@gmail. Send it in a package, the book in a package with your self-addressed envelope and your address on it, obviously, and then he'll get that signed for you. What a great gift that would make, and I think that that's a legacy gift, especially to you avid travelers out there. So thank you, Bill. And just stand by. We just need to thank our sponsors, Mission Capital Management, for their support of this network. You can go to missioncapitalmanagement.com and find out about all their latest investments. Great people of integrity out of Nashville, Tennessee. Also, thanks to Maui Joe Coffee for their support. MauiJoeCoffee.com is the place to go buy your coffee. They use Brazilian, Guatemalan, Hawaiian beans. It's just a tremendous coffee. And then thanks to Graceful Years, greeting cards and journals. That's the company that publishes the Transform Traveler Journal that's also available on Amazon.com, as well as you can go to shop.gracefully-years.com. And now back to Bill. Bill, as is tradition on this show, we like to kind of peel the onion back and ask about five senses. And we'd love to know, in all of your travels around the world, if there's the most memorable food that you've ever tasted, and if you could just share a little bit about that.
Well, on this particular trip, my biggest fear was getting sick, maybe specifically diarrhea, say 700 miles out on a 1,500-mile leg. So I did not experiment with food. I stayed with very plain and simple food, things that I know, and that fear was the reason for that. I stayed at first-class hotels, but I did get sick one time, and I was only about 500 miles out on a 1,000-mile leg. But I...
And when you traveled in the past, Bill, to various countries, when you weren't on this kind of journey, is there a particular country that you can think of where the food is the most outstanding?
Well, you have to put France and Belgium on that list. And, you know, I've traveled and worked all over the world. And so those are my favorite countries for food. I've been into most countries, that's for sure.
Yeah. Did you ever take account of the number of countries that you have visited?
I never counted, but I've been in all European countries and then Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia, what used to be Russia, Japan, and throughout Southeast Asia and throughout South America, North America.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's tremendous. It's almost a challenge to our listeners that have yet to travel to all those countries to make plans to do that. And like Bill's advice says, just go do it. Bill, if you were to close your eyes right now and think about all the fragrances and aromas that you were exposed to in this worldwide trip featured in Flight of a Lifetime, what are some of the most memorable fragrances, and in what countries did those occur?
Well, I'm going to disappoint you there, Rick, because I don't have much of a sense of smell at all. But the one smell I remember is hot engine oil.
Oh, my. That's the smell of danger.
Yeah, no, that's a smell of an engine continuing to do its job.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Well, let's move on then to the sites. You crossed so many oceans and rivers and forests, deserts, you name it. What would you say are the top five sites that you saw on this worldwide trip?
There again, Rick, to me that was a crushing disappointment because most of the trip was over water. And the scenery changes very little, although flying over the Coral Sea was really a beautiful sight. And there were only a very few other times when I was not on instruments or flying at night. I flew the Atlantic at night. I flew the Pacific at night. And I flew the the Bay of Bengal and the Andaman Sea at night. I guess half my legs were flown at night and I was flying on instruments. So that was the big disappointment to me because I'd traveled all over the world, but you don't see anything from an airliner.
Mm-hmm.
And so big disappointment because I planned on taking lots of aerial photographs and doing a lot of sightseeing from my little airplane. And I could just meander around, and I didn't get to do that.
Mm. Well, that's so interesting. And if you've got time, Bill, I'd love to take a couple of listeners' calls, questions for you. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that works for me.
Excellent. You guys can call in and talk to the one and only Bill Randolph, pilot and author of Flight of a Lifetime, 646-727-2255. Here's a caller who wants to know about where do you find out about building your own airplane and the kits that you can purchase, and which kits would you recommend?
Yeah, well, okay.
So if you can answer that
would be fantastic. You want me to just go ahead and answer that, Rick?
Yes, sir. Please do.
Oh, I thought the caller might come online here. Well, the kit selection is a very personal one. I chose the airplane I chose, which was a Vans aircraft. That's a company in Oregon because it has a good reputation, has probably the most prolific manufacturer of aircraft kits in the world. I think there are some 7,000 Vans aircraft models flying. I chose my particular model because it's all metal. It's reasonably fast. It cruises at, a little over 200 miles an hour. It's fairly economic to operate, and it's aerobatic. Now, the there are lots of kits out there, and go online and you can find out what they are. But Vans Aircraft is certainly one to look at. And they have, a half a dozen models available. Mine is a tandem seat military configuration because I learned to fly in those old military airplanes. And I go upside down in it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Here's another caller who wants to, I'll just represent them, Bill. They say, thank you for your service to our country, and I'll add to that. And they would like to know if beating throat cancer was the impetus for this trip, or did you have this planned anyway?
Well, I always wanted to do this. Throat cancer was just a wake-up call. You know, you say the sand is running out of the glass, and my bucket list is still undone. So I just decided that I had to get moving. And even though I was 74 at the time, still had some time left to tick off a number of those things.
Yeah, that is great. We love your spirit and attitude. And time for one more caller. If they want to know, if you were to address the a graduating class, college class, let's say UCLA, USC, University of California, and you were to address them about chasing your passion and living out your dreams, what would you say to that graduating class other than just go do it?
Well, I'd say, first off, do something that you genuinely like to do. Have fun. The objective in life isn't to make money, but you can, if you choose right, do the thing that you like to do, and you can probably do financially as well. And by all means, follow your dream.
That's great advice. Bill, thank you so much for being on the Transform Traveler. As usual, we're always the first recipient to learn the most from our guests, and we really enjoyed you being on. Your book is called Flight of a Lifetime. Folks, you can contact Bill at bill8dz@gmail.com, and we highly recommend you buying Flight of a Lifetime as a book for Christmas gifts. And as we said, contact Bill, and you can arrange a way to get a signed autograph from this great character. So we appreciate you being on, Bill.
Ah, merci beaucoup, Monsieur Tokeny.
I love it. That's what I needed to hear, a little bit of French on this show.
Well, that helped me out on my trip a little bit, too.
I bet so. Well, you're a delight. I hope you can join us again. And thanks again, Bill, for being on.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
Yes, sir. That was Bill Randolph, author of Flight of a Lifetime. And do buy his book on Amazon.com. We'll be back on tomorrow with a Saturday show and then a Sunday show as well with popular travel blogger Lily Marshall. Until then, you guys travel with passion. Enjoy visiting, meeting new people along your path, and happy trails.